We certainly thank you for being with us this afternoon. Thank Jason for leading us in those beautiful songs and Caleb for his good prayer. And encourage you to get your Bible and study with us the pages of God's inspired revelation. I want to talk to you for just a few moments this afternoon about the topic written on the board before you, believing a lie. And as a basis for this study, I'll be reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The Scriptures are full of examples of individuals who believed a lie. There are several of those found within the pages of the book of Genesis. I'd like to call a few of those to our attention tonight and then make some present-day application of believing a lie. As you think about believing a lie, the first thing I call to your attention is the fact that Eve believed a lie. When you go back to the book of Genesis, the book of origination, and read of the origin of all things except God, who is eternal, you read where man was placed in the garden under the constraint of divine law. The law was permissive in that the Lord said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But his law was also prohibitory in that the Lord said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. It was enforced by a sure penalty. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And divine law was so plain that the woman was able to repeat it to the tempter, as recorded in chapter 3. The serpent makes his appearance and tells the first lie in Genesis 3. And then in verse 4, when the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And when the woman saw a tree good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and a desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What did she just do? She believed a lie. God said, ye shall surely die, and the devil said, ye shall not surely die. The Bible indicates that Satan, the devil, is the father of lies. In the book of John in chapter 8 and in verse 44, the Lord told the Jews, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That goes back to Genesis 3, which we just read. And he's been at it ever since. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11 and in verse 3 that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. And Paul wrote Timothy about that in 1 Timothy 2:14, how that Eve being deceived was in the transgression. Eve believed a lie, and sin was introduced into the world. But let me suggest to you that just because she believed a lie, because she had been deceived and beguiled by the devil, did not release her from the penalty attached to the violation of the law or from the consequences of sin. For in Genesis 3 and in verse 16, unto the woman God said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And verse 24 finds God driving out the man, and placing at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so as you think about occasions when men believed a lie, you've got to think about how Eve was deceived into believing that falsehood. But then as you think about believing a lie, as you come over to the book of Genesis in chapter 27, you read where Isaac believed a lie. It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, that he might bless him. But as you read on in this story, you find where Isaac's wife, Rebekah, overheard his intentions, and The Bible records in verse 15 that Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And in verse 24 he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Jacob has just lied to his father. He's deceived him into thinking that he is his brother Esau, that he might take away the blessing. In fact, in verse 35, it is said by Isaac, Thy brother came with subtlety, that is, with craftiness, and hath taken away thy blessing. It's no wonder then that he's rightly named Jacob, which means supplanter. As he said, He has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he had taken away my blessing. Verse 36. And so Isaac, in his advanced age, was made to believe a lie by his wife and son, who made them think that it was Esau, when in reality, he was blessing Jacob. And I'd like to recommend to you that if Isaac had gone by what he heard rather than what he felt, he wouldn't have been deceived. You know, there are a lot of people in the religious world who are going by what they feel instead of what they hear. And the Bible teaches, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, and in verse 17. And so they too are often deceived. But again, as you think about believing a lie, I think about another occasion in the book of Genesis where an individual believed a lie. Come with me now to Genesis chapter 37. We're introduced to Joseph as we think about Jacob, his father, whose name was changed to Israel. And how at this particular time we find Joseph as a young man, 17 years old, feeding the flock with his brethren. And you see the favoritism that was showed him by his father, as Israel loved Joseph more than his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. His brothers were envious. He dreamed about their bowing down and making obeisance to him, and that aroused further jealousy. And so they decide to slay him. But when Reuben hears it, in verse 21, he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And so they put him in a pit. And a band of Ishmaelite merchant men passed by, and they end up selling him into Egypt. Verse 28 records, And sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now watch what they do in verse 31. They took Joseph's coat, that coat of many colors that his father gave to him, and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, what did they say? This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. These boys have just made their father believe a lie that his son Joseph has been devoured by a wild beast. And notice how Jacob reacts to this news in verse 34. The Bible says he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. I want you to observe from the lie that Israel believed, that a lie believed will produce the same emotions and the same feelings that would have been produced had it been the truth. His grief for his son would not have been any different. He felt the same, though it was a lie and not the truth. And so you can't go by your emotions or how you feel when you think of truth or error. But then I think of another occasion outside of the book of Genesis that we just cannot overlook in a study of this nature. It's found recorded in the book of 1 Kings and the 13th chapter. Just as Eve and Isaac and Israel believed a lie, I read where a young prophet also believed a lie. In 1 Kings 13 and verse 9, he was charged by the Lord, "Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest." And so it was very plain as to what he was not to do. He couldn't eat, couldn't drink, wasn't to go home the same way. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. But in verse 11, we're introduced to an old prophet in Bethel. His sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, "What way went he?" For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, "Saddle me the ass." So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, "Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah?" And he said, "I am." Then he said unto him, "Come home with me, and eat bread." And he said, "I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest." He said unto him, "I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water." Now catch this. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house and drank water. What did he do? He believed a lie. And notice what happens. It came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers." And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And here's one of the saddest statements in this story. When he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by, the lion also stood by the carcass. That's a sad story, isn't it? Here's a young prophet who was trying to do the right thing. He knew the word of the Lord. He knew the instruction that had been given to him, that he was not to eat bread, he was not to drink water, and when he went home, he was to go home a different way. But here's an old prophet who's deceived him, who's lied to him, who told him, "I'm a prophet like you are. Come home with me. Eat and drink." What did he do? He disobeyed the Lord. He believed a lie, and he paid the price as he was slain by a lion in the way. And so when you think about believing a lie, the scriptures are full of examples of it, aren't they? But let me suggest to you that believing a lie is something that goes on even today. That in the religious world, there are all kind of lies that are being told. And that just as Eve and Isaac and Israel and this young prophet, there are those today who believe a lie. Let me suggest to you a few lies that are being told today. One lie that's being told is that there's no harm in a little sin. You know, a lot of people think that sin really isn't all that bad. But I want to suggest to you that the Scripture points out in the book of Proverbs 14 and in verse 9 that fools make a mock at sin. And it is still true, as Paul laid down the principle in Galatians 6 and verse 7, that God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin is still the transgression of God's law. 1 John 3, 4. It's still true. All unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 5, 17. And Paul penned in Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. And so if somebody tries to convince you a little sin is not harmful, go ahead and take that drink. It's okay to gamble a little bit. It's okay to do this or do that. Don't believe that lie, because sin is harmful. Another lie that's being told by some and believed by many is that one church is just as good as another. You know, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that there is but one church. That's the Lord's. The Lord only promised to build one. He said, I'll build my church. Matthew 16, 18. The apostles only taught one. In Ephesians 4, 4, Paul said there's what? One body. What is the one body? The church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And that's where the saved are, according to Ephesians 5 and verse 23, when Paul taught that Christ is the Savior of the body. If there's one body, and Christ is the Savior of the body, then there's only one church in which you and I can be saved, and that's the church that Christ built. And yet folks are being made to believe that it doesn't make any difference what church you're a member of, one just as good as another. If they really, truly believe that. Is the church of Satan as good as the church built by Christ? What about the Jim Jones church? Remember, he took them off and they drank the Kool-Aid and they were all poison? Is that as good? I don't think so. And yet there are those who've been deceived into thinking that it makes no difference what church you're a member of. One just as good as another. Don't believe that lie. Another lie that is being told by some is that all you have to do to be saved is just believe. Salvation by faith only is a popular lie believed by many. You ask people in Terre Haute, what must I do to be saved? Most people would tell you, all you got to do is just believe. Just as long as you have faith. Now, I'm not here to discount the importance of that. Faith is important. It's essential. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And you remember what the Lord said in John 8, 24? If ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And so faith is important. We're justified by faith. Romans 5 and verse 1. But we're not justified or saved by faith only. In fact, in James 2 and in verse 24, James said, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Man says justified by faith only. The Bible says not by faith only. Who are you going to believe? The Lord said in Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Faith's vital, but it takes more than faith alone. to be saved. In John 12:42, I read where there were those who believed on the Lord, but they would not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And yet Paul taught that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Romans 10:9 and 10. And so when somebody comes along and they try to tell you that all you need to do to be saved is just believe, don't believe that lie. Another lie that is being told today is that once you're saved, you're always saved. That when you obey the gospel, that you cannot so sin as to be eternally lost. It's been suggested that after you become a Christian, that you could commit adultery to murder and it wouldn't make any difference as to your eternal destiny. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that it's possible for one who's been baptized to be lost. I read in the book of Acts in chapter 8 where Simon was baptized. And after his obedience to the gospel, he was in a bad situation. It's described in verse 21. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. In verse 23, the apostle said that he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Notice what he is told to do about that. Verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. It gives people a false sense of security to think that they can be baptized today and just live any way they want to tomorrow. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Remember that? Romans chapter 6, the first two verses. And so we need to be impressed with our need to be faithful unto death, as the Lord said in the book of Revelation 2 and in verse 10. And I need to be interested in being steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As Paul said, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 58. Paul taught in the book of Titus in chapter 2, and in verse 12, that the grace of God teaches us. What's it teach us? That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. How should we live, Paul? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so there are a lot of lies that are being told today. And we need to learn from those who've gone before, who paid a high price for believing a lie. As John said in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't swallow everything that everybody comes along and says. But try the spirits. That is, test the teachers. How are you going to prove them? How are you going to test them? By this book. You see, the Word of God is truth. In John 17:17, the Lord said, sanctify them through truth. Thy Word is truth. And any teaching, any doctrine, that's contrary to what this book says is a lie and must not be believed. Remember what Paul said about those who believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 12. We'd like to present you today the opportunity to believe and obey the truth. As Peter said, seeing you have obeyed the truth through the Spirit, you have purified your souls. 1 Peter 1, 21 through 23. You obey the truth as you hear the truth. It's been preached today. By believing it with all of your heart and by obeying it, by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith that you believe that Christ is God's Son. Just like the Ethiopian who said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And they answered and said, what do you say? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They stopped the chariot, went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing because his sins have now been forgiven. They've been washed away by the blood of King Jesus. Would you be willing to do that today? To obey the truth, that you might be saved? That your soul would be purified? Maybe you've already done that. But you've become unfaithful. Maybe you believed a lie. Maybe you've been deceived into thinking some things are true when in reality they're not. Would you repent of that? Would you ask for God's forgiveness in prayer? Maybe like Simon, you need to repent and pray. And it was his attitude, pray to the Lord for me. And if that's your desire, we're more than happy to pray to the Lord for you if you'll make your way to the front as we now stand and sing together.